We'll be starting in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, beginning in verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare it for me, delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. This week I asked my Facebook friends who their favorite superhero is. Now, I love doing this because you can never predict what people are going to say. Some people said Spider-Man. Some people said Iron Man. Some people said Superman. I even had a couple that I didn't see coming. One person said they like Green Lantern, and one person said they like Hawk Girl. You see, it's hard to predict what we're going to pick as heroes when we're adults, much less superheroes. But as children, it's a little more simple. I remember when I was a little boy, Superman was my favorite superhero. And I had a little outfit with an S on it, and I had a little Velcro cape. And anytime my cape got dirty, I made my mom and dad take my blanket and some bobby pins and put it to the back of my shirt so I could still have my cape flapping in the wind. And my dad, he used to pick me up, and he would move me around so I could feel like I was flying. And he let me make the flying noises, so I was... That was my favorite part. And now that I have a son, he's only 4 months old, but I do some of the same stuff with him. You know, for a lot of us, our first great hero is our father. And our story today has a similar idea in it. You see, in our story today, we see that fathers have unique biblical authority to bless their children. Fathers have unique biblical authority to bless their children. But the context of our story is really one of family drama. From the time Jacob and Esau are in their mother's womb, they're fighting each other. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but I grew up with 2 brothers, so fighting was like a way of life for us. We would fight about everything, and we would fight about nothing. Fighting means you love each other. And that's a normal part of growing up as a boy, and I'm guessing as a girl too. But you know what? There's a big difference between that childhood fighting and that grown-up fighting. You see, in our story today, we'll see that some of that childhood fighting can spill over into rage, into jealousy, and into competition, especially when it comes to the inheritance that's brought from the family to the next generation. If there's one thing that we like to fight about as a people, it's money and assets. Our story begins in verse 1, and we're told that Isaac is old and his eyes are dim. So he's old and blind, he can't see. And he calls to his firstborn son and says, I'm going to be dying soon, so I need to do something. There's something that I need to do. There's a ritual. It's important to me. It's important to our family. And I need to make sure that I take this time to pass on the family authority and the blessing before I die. And a lot of us feel like this idea of family blessing and authority is something that we can relate to. But at the same time, we might say, hey, the Bible's thousands of years old. Does it really have relevance to today's world? Well, I heard the President Bush is telling a story one day. And the younger Bush was talking about the family tradition, how the older Bush would carve the Thanksgiving turkey every year. And that as he carved the turkey, he would make sure that every member of the family had a piece. And then he would pray a prayer of thanksgiving and lead the family in giving thanks that year. George said, after I won that first election, my dad took me aside on Thanksgiving and said, now it's your time to bless the family. He said, you're president of the country. That's got to at least make you president of this family now. And so he did it. You see, President Bush had a similar idea that Isaac did. He wanted to see the next generation of children blessed and taken care of. And he wanted the joy of being able to see his son take that authority over. So before he died, he wanted to pass on that ritual and that family authority to the next generation. Now for the Hebrews, this idea is extremely important to them. So what he does, he tells his firstborn son, I want you to go hunt some food for me and get my favorite meal before I die. He says, I want to bless you before I go away. But his wife hears it. Rebecca hears the blessing. And what happens is she commands Jacob to trick her dad. I don't know if you've ever read this story and understood what's really taking place. If you think your family has problems, Rebecca has a favorite. I read this quote this week from the Sibling Effect author, Jeffrey Cooler, and he says this, I like to say that 99% of all parents have a favorite child, and the other 1% are lying. Right? So everybody has a favorite child in their family. Maybe you'll look at your mom or your dad right now. Maybe it's a secret, but most of the time it's pretty obvious who somebody's favorite child is because they usually take after them more. And in this situation, that's a little bit of what happened, right? I mean, Esau is a manly man, is a dude's dude, is a guy's guy, right? I mean, he's a big redneck. You understand that, right? He likes to go hunting and fishing. And he's a rough kind of a guy. That's who he is. But Jacob likes to stay indoors a little bit more. He's a bit of a mama's boy. He's more emotional. He's a little more thoughtful. So he takes after his mother a little bit more. So they each have a favorite. And they sow these seeds of conflict from childhood. And they have an opportunity to grow and grow and grow. Studies say that from the ages of 3 to 5 years old, children can fight as many times as 7 times in an hour. So they didn't need help when they were children. But as adults, this conflict is massaged and encouraged by the parents. That's bad. That's very bad. So Rebecca hears that this plan is going on, and she schemes and says, I'm going to make sure that my son gets this blessing. And listen, the Hebrew word for command is used 3 times in verse 8. She doesn't command him once or twice. She commands him 3 different times to obey her in helping her to trick her husband. So what does Jacob do? He stands up for himself, and he's a good, godly man, and that's why God gives him the blessing at the end of the story. No, that's not what happens at all. Jacob's a pushover. He does what his mom says. A practicing psychotherapist, Dr. Jeffrey Rubin, says, the youngest child can sometimes be viewed as the weakest in the family, and the mother can sometimes overcompensate. Mothers often make extra efforts to boost their younger children and build them up because they feel like they're behind. So whether we say it's biological, psychological, biblical, Rebecca has a favorite that she's putting forward, and Jacob doesn't fight back. He listens to what his mom said and follows through. You know what he does? He gets two young goats and uses the goat skins and Esau's clothing. Now listen, mom doesn't just say, go get Esau's t-shirt. Okay, that's not good enough. What she says is, get his best clothing. This is clothing that Esau would only wear once or twice a year. It was his fanciest outfit. It was his ceremonial clothes. Okay, so she says, go get his fanciest outfit. You know he never wears it anyway. He's always wearing that camouflage, going out in the woods, trying to hunt something. So go get his fanciest clothes. He won't even notice they're gone. He's already gone already. We're going to get a head start on him. Get the two goats, bring them to me, and I will fix them the best way he likes it. Nobody knows better than his wife the best way he likes it. So she says, bring it to me. I'm going to cook it. She cooks it. They get the best clothing, and they want a trick. They want a trick. Daddy Isaac. One of my best friends when I lived in New Orleans was Carl. And Carl was blind for about 10 years by the time I became friends with him. Now, I don't know if you've ever become friends with a blind person, but it can be very confusing, okay? Because he lost his eyesight, he developed an insane memory. I went into Carl's house one day, and he said, Josh, can you get me a bottle of Orange Crush and bring it to me with a pack of Lance cheese crackers? And I said, I can try. Do you know where they are? He said, yes, take three steps into my kitchen, turn left, open the refrigerator door, and it's in the top right-hand corner about halfway to the front. I said, okay, got it. And he said, and the cheese crackers are on the counter in the bottom left-hand corner. You can't miss them. I said, okay. So I went and got him, and I said, man, you got to tell me, how did you do that? He said, Josh, I'm blind. I'm not stupid. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I know that I can't find anything there, so I memorize certain spots for certain things, and I make sure my wife puts them there when she puts the groceries away. And he said, as long as she doesn't mess up, I don't mess up. You see, when your eyesight goes, your other senses really do kick in new and interesting ways. And not like something out of a comic book or a movie. My friend Carl had an amazing memory. He could recall actors. He could recall books and authors and page numbers. It was amazing because he couldn't see, other parts of his senses developed. And that's what had happened to Isaac. So they realized, if we're going to trick him, we got to really trick him. So we need to trick all of his senses. We need to make sure that his nose is tricked. We need to make sure that his hands are tricked. And so that's what they do. They put on his clothes because they smell like him. All right? And they put on goat skin because I guess he was a hairy guy. All right? And so they make this plan and they come up with these very specific ways that they're going to trick Isaac. And that's what they do. So Jacob lies to Isaac and steals the blessing from his brother. He's already stealing part of the inheritance. He's already stolen part of the inheritance, right? For the firstborn son would receive two parts of inheritance, and the secondborn son would get one part of the inheritance. So he's already stolen that. He tricked him with some stew one day when he was hungry. For some lentils, he got twice the blessing. Okay? So he is a trickster. He's named correctly. His name means to trick or to trip up. So he's named correctly. So they give all the food to Jacob. We're at verse 17. She puts the delicious food and the bread together into the hands of her son Jacob. Verse 18. So he went into his father and said, my father. And he said, where are you? He said, I'm here. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Listen, Jacob doesn't just lie to his father, but he takes the covenant name of the Lord in vain. Right?
the name that God gave to Moses when he said, "Who shall I say sent me to set the people of Israel free?" The name Yahweh, it means I was, I is, I always will be God. So the personal covenant name of God that's given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as they pass down that family blessing, he steals the name of God to do it. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt for him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's. So he blessed him and said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he answered, "I am." Then he said, "Come near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him. He ate, he drank wine. And then he said, "Come near to me that I may kiss my son." So he came near and he kissed him. And as he kissed his son, he smelled his garments. So Isaac touches his arm and smells his shirt and begins to bless his son. And this is what he says: "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." Using the covenant name, some clothes, and some goat skin, Isaac steals the blessing from his father. And that blessing that Isaac blesses his son with includes the crops, it includes the livestock, and it includes his family. So what Jacob has actually done is he's stolen a general blessing from his brother and the covenantal blessing from his brother. The same words almost are identical to the way that God said he was going to bless Abraham. That through all the nations of the world, your family will be blessed. That your family will bless all the nations of the world. And he passed that on to Isaac, the son of the covenant. And now this sneaky, no good trickster of a second born has stolen the covenant blessings of God from his family. How do you think he reacted when Esau found out? He was mad. He was mad. The Bible tells us in verse 30 that Jacob receives the blessing. And as soon as he gets the blessing, he hightails it out of there because he is afraid of Esau catching him in the act. And as soon as he leaves, Esau comes in to receive the blessing. Verse 33, "Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, 'Who is it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed.' As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me even also, O father.' But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He has taken away my birthright, and behold, he has taken away my blessing.' Then he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me, father?'" Esau, the man's man, the dude's dude, the guy's guy, is devastated. And he weeps bitterly. He's so upset, he's overwhelmed by emotion. Because his brother has bested him again. And there's no way he doesn't find out that mom helped. He's upset. And he says, "Father, is there nothing left of the family legacy for me? Is there nothing left of the family blessing for me?" Verse 37, "And Isaac answered him, 'Behold, I have made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants. With grain and wine I sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you but one blessing, O my father? Bless me even also, my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." He cried again in the scriptures, this man's man has been humbled and brought low. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, The days of mourning my father are approaching, but then I will kill my brother Jacob. Esau is devastated and he's so angry he wants to murder his brother. He's stolen the blessing from him. He's stolen the inheritance from him. And now the blessing that he gets from his father almost sounds like a curse. But it comes true. You see, Isaac makes a decision based on his faith. He decides to bless both of his sons. Now, Isaac realizes that there is a deep conflict brewing between his children. And he knows that he has to do something unusual in order to try to make peace between them and peace before God. And so he says, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Which was unheard of. Normally the firstborn would receive double the portion and would receive the blessing and honor and everything from the family. And the secondborn wouldn't receive but just a third and like a handshake. Good luck, buddy. Hope you do good out there. But now because of what's happened, everything's different. I want you to understand, church, this takes a huge leap of faith. Isaac is trusting God with his children's future. And he's praying in a way that trusts God specifically. Isaac has already given his son Jacob so much that he finds a way to bless his son Esau. And he says, you're going to live by the sword. And that's what happens. The descendants of Esau become mercenaries. And they're hired hands of Israel. And so they fight and work for the people of Israel for years and years and years. And they're really big rednecks. They live up in the mountains of Israel. And they make little caves for themselves, like the pueblos that we see in Mexico. That's how they lived. So they're a rough people. But after years and years of service, they finally do find their freedom. So Isaac's blessing over his son does come true. C.S. Lewis said, God calls upon us with all of our habits and hang-ups, warts and worries, to action. We are called to step out of the world, hop up on the stage of history, and take our place in God's roll call of the faithful. Of course, we are inadequate, but so have all others who have ever evidenced the grace of God. Otherwise, it wouldn't be God's grace. Lewis understood something that Isaac understood, that it's not about being perfect or seemingly perfect or pretending that everything is okay in your family, but it is about trusting God with the here and now and trusting God with your family's future. Isaac remembers that God gave him his family in the first place and that he can trust God with their futures. Isaac makes a decision in faith to bless his family. So the applications to us are clear. We need to bless our families. Isaac blesses his sons, and they don't speak to each other because of this conflict for 20 years. For 20 years. 15% of all sibling relationships are damaged beyond repair. How is your relationship with your brothers and your sisters? You see, Isaac is commended for his faith in Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. As a statement of faith, he blesses and trusts God with the future of his children. The fact that he blessed both of his children proves this. And the fact that God continues to be with both of them in the next generation proves that God heard his prayer. And my question for you today is, have you received the Father's blessings? Thousands of years after the events of Jacob and Esau, Jesus Christ came on the earth.
And he gave us permission to call God Father. He said, he's my Abba Father. Look, I don't know where you are in your family history. I don't know if you have a good earthly father or a bad earthly father. But I'm here today to tell you that we all have access to a heavenly Father. And the question this morning is, have you received his blessing? My friend served as a pastor for years. And every night he would go in to pray with his children. And as he sat by the child's bed, he would ask each child, do you want to receive your father's blessing? And he said, Josh, they never said no. So he sat or stood beside their bed, and he prayed a blessing over each child every night. And as he spoke, it was like he took the good parts of what Isaac did. He spoke of who they were and who they could possibly be in the future, and spoke that as a blessing over their lives. I'm the daddy of this church. And if you want to receive a blessing from Father God today, during our response time, just lift your hand up a little bit. And I'll come and I'll pray over you. I'll wear a mask. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. But listen, nobody is going to walk out of this worship service without an opportunity to be blessed by God in prayer. And if we have a lot of people, the deacons can help us pray as well. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if you have children here with you today, I would encourage you to pray blessings over your children during our response time. We're not going to stand up and sing a hymn of a song and rush to lunch today. We're going to take our times and we're going to pray blessings over each other. The other thing that this story teaches us, folks, is that if you have disagreements with your family members, you need to put them to bed. You need to put them to rest. And the Bible tells us, as much as it is up to me, be at peace with them. So if you have a problem with a brother or a sister, I would encourage you to seek that person out. Don't wait 5 minutes, much less 5 years or 10 years or 20 years like Jacob and Esau had to wait before they were able to have peace between each other. Today, you're going to have an opportunity to pray a blessing over your children if you're a father. This is one of the responsibilities that we as fathers have. You can pray a blessing over your children, over your grandchildren, over your great-grandchildren. I don't care who's here with you or who's going to be with you later today. If you ask somebody if they want to be blessed by God, almost no one says no. So today, I want to give you an opportunity to set up a legacy of faith like Isaac did and pray a blessing over your children. Pray a blessing over their future, over their skills. What are they good at? How can I use that in a way to bless them? Now, my boy is only a few months old, but I've already been doing this with him. And I don't know that it's making much of a difference to little Judah and how he behaves. But listen, peace and love result from praying blessings over your family. They do. They do. It takes a generosity of spirit and a humility to pray blessings over people that don't always get along with you. But it's a choice and it's a decision. More than seeking God's favor and faith for your own life, you're seeking God's favor and faith for theirs. And that's what we want to do. We want to speak blessings over the next generations of children that will come after us. So my question is, do you want the Father's blessing today? This is not a sermon application that is hard for you to understand. If you want someone to pray for you, as our musicians begin to play, you're going to have an opportunity to pray a blessing over your family. And if you want me to come pray with you, just raise your hand. Deacons, if you feel comfortable, help me pray for folks as they feel led today, they raise their hands. But no one in this congregation is going to be leaving this building without an opportunity to be blessed by God, because that is the main lesson that we take from Isaac's story, that his faith is commended because he trusted God with his children's future. And when he did that, he changed the trajectory of their lives from one of murder and violence to eventually one of getting along together and being at peace. Receive our blessings today, church. Receive our blessings. I want you to go ahead and close your eyes. And I want you to have a conversation with Father God, all right? And some people might think this is silly, but listen, being blessed by the Father is not silly. And if you want me to come pray with you, you can just lift up your hand a little bit and I'll come pray with you. If you want to pray over your family, go ahead and do that. But in this time, I'm going to just get us started and just pray a prayer right now. God, we thank you so much for all the fathers and sons and daughters that are present here today. And God, we pray this blessing over each and every one of them, God, that you as a father see them. God, that you see what they're capable of and you see what is hurting them. God, you see what is making them feel less than in their lives. And God, we lay our brokenness and our misunderstanding and our heartache at the feet of Jesus this morning. And Father God, we just ask to receive a Father's blessing for today and for our future. Father, we give you our anxieties and our doubts, our fears and our failures, and we ask that you would speak love and hope and wholeness and healing. God, give the fathers today and grandfathers today the right words to speak truth and love over their children. We ask this in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. During this time, just continue to pray over your children and grandchildren, and we'll just have a time of prayer and response, okay?
Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this good day and for all the many blessings that you've given us, Lord, and that you are our Heavenly Father, that you're there for us, that you're there to give us the things that we need, the encouragement that we need, knowing that you're always there for us and that you will never leave us like earthly fathers may, Lord, that you will always be there for us to guide us, direct us, Lord. Just help us as we go out, that we may go out and bless our children, bless our families, Lord. Be there for them. Guide them in the way so that we can pass on our faith and our beliefs to the next generation and to the next. Lord, help us to be good examples of fathers that we may go out and share your word with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.